I was just talking about this with my agent. We met, the first time we met was Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say
at a UFC.
UFC card, yeah. Jacksonville.
I was like, damn, this motherfucker's huge.
No, I remember seeing y'all, and you were with Steve mainly, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
And
we must have traveled the whole world making content, doing crazy shit.
It's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Wish you can get back on YouTube, but. Bro, it's a blessing to have you, man.
No, I appreciate it.
I'm a fan, and dude, you've been crushing it. And you know what I noticed? Like, I feel like, we'll get into this topic of like social media and like the NFL and all this. Obviously, a ton of stuff to cover. But you're like, are you more in the mix than other NFL players? Like, when I say in the mix, like showing up to events and kind of like. Yes and no, kind of, right?
Yeah, I would say, like, because I don't go out. You know what I mean? I'm not in the clubs or anything
that's
like
what,
that.
That's not what I mean when I say the mix.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. But, you know, leading to my point, it's like, if I'm going to do it's going to be for a purpose. You know what I mean? And stay involved in, like, things that I actually enjoy doing. So, like, back in the day when I was partying and doing my shit, I was out on the scene and trying to get into, you know, as much fun as I possibly can. But now it's just like, you know, UFC events. I'm always at the UFC events. Dana's a good friend of mine.
Amazing guy.
That whole crew. And then just doing business. You know, there's so much in Vegas that, you know what I mean? It's unlimited opportunity. So for me, it's like I got a lot of great people around me. I'm, you know, Ruben's one of my good friends. He's with Fanatics and I'm with Fanatics now. So I'm just like, I'll step out and you'll see me. Boom, I'm out for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then I'm back at the house. Like, I'm a homebody, bro.
Yeah, you're like me.
In and out, bro. I'm in and out. I'm doing my thing, and then I go straight back to the crib. So yeah.
And you're that kind of way with football. Even I feel like, because I saw an interview you talking. I think you were Strickland talking about this, but you're like a 24/7 guy. You're not like an off season, on season kind of guy. You're like always kind of locked in, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, I got that. You know, I started after my second year. I love coming to LA. I got a different type of love because I got sober out here. So that was about almost 4 years ago. It's coming up. But yeah, you know, I got cleaned up out here. So I'm 24/7, like literally I come out to LA in my room, you know, I have my nutritionist call the hotel, boom, I need extra fridge. So I get all my meal prep and I got a company out here, and no matter where I'm at, I'm always locked in 100%. So right now it's different. I got this knee, and then I got to get my thumb tomorrow.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming like this. Cause obviously the dedication's different.
No.
Bro.
Yeah. I try to stay. Let's not try. I just stay dialed in 100% of the time because I know what it takes to get to that level. But to stay there and to keep improving and find a way to improve, bro, it literally requires 100% of your attention. And if you don't have people around you that understand it, like, you know, they won't understand. So that's why my wife and my close-knit friends, like, they know what I want and know what I'm chasing. So no matter what I'm doing, bro, I'm going to be 100% in.
On that note, you got your fourth round drafted.
Yep, right? Fourth round draft pick.
Is that like... Is that obviously that's not like first round, all this like, yo, this guy's the guy. You like, you're building yourself into something though. That do you think you probably knew you were going to do this, but do you think people thought you were going to be able to do this?
No, you know, I don't think so. I think, you know, I've always had a crazy belief in myself. You know, at the end of the day, I love what I do. Like, I've been obsessed with football and sports since literally the day I was born. So, I didn't know it would get to this level, but the thing is like, I know I could be even better, and I know I could, you know, only keep growing if I keep doing the right shit. So, yeah, for me, bro, it's like it worked out the way it's supposed to. Like, I wasn't supposed to be a first-round pick. I wasn't supposed to get that much money out the gate because when I came to the league, bro, I was wild as and like, I wasn't ready for all that. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had to really earn it. So now, like, I'm going into my sixth year, which is crazy how time flies. But, you know, I know I'm grateful for it now. So, like, I understand what it took to get here, and I worked my off every single day, you know, to get to this point. So if I would have got it right out the gate, you know what I mean, I don't know how I would have reacted to it. So it makes me appreciate it a lot more. So yeah man, it's special for sure.
Arguably one of the best defensive players in the league,
no doubt.
I guess Bosa got it over you in the rookie.
Yeah it was me, it was him, and then I was second.
Do you think he's going into the bowl, so obviously it's going to be a little different, but do you think you'd get defensive player of the year?
Yeah, well, I'm up for it. I mean, it's five of us this year. You know, in my personal opinion, like, every single year I get better. And it's not just stats, you know, that's one thing, but just as a player and overall impact. So I'm willing to run that race. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I know my time is coming, and I know I'm going to get that recognition, and I'm starting to get that recognition. So for me, it's just trusting the process and continuing to find that little 1% I can get better at. And that's the beauty in it. Like, guys, like, you know, for me, I talk to my brother about this all the time, because he's like, you know, he's my biggest, you know, supporter. He goes on Twitter. He's pissed off. He's like, no, I'm telling you, Max is better than, he's been saying this since day one.
Stats, I mean.
I mean, yeah. But, and then Rachel's the same way. My wife, like, she will go to war. You know what I mean? And all my friends, they know what I do and know what I put in. And like, I've been on teams, you know, I've been in the league 5 years. I made the playoffs one time. And the fact that, you know, I've been, you know, 3 times in a row Pro Bowl. I've been multiple All Pros. Like, I'm getting recognition, and I'm not in the playoffs every year. So I know once I'm starting to consistently be in the playoffs, you know, it's just going to keep going and going. It just starts with the work. So for me, it's like, I told my brother this. I'm like, Jokic, it took Jokic like 8 years for everyone to fully recognize you. Like, nah, he's the best player in the league. And for me, that's, you know, that's what I look at. I could see it like maybe two, three years from now, when they look back, they'll be like, okay, he's got every stat. Yeah. He's got all that.
I think it's people, like, are starting to really deny. See it though, for real.
No, for sure. And and I know that it just, that's what pushes me more, because I know there's another level I can go to. So if it takes 8-10 years, I'm willing to run that race.
It's, it's got to be tough though, because like, because football is such a massive, massive team sport. Like,
yeah,
100%. Because for you to get the kind of looks, like, to that point where, like, you do kind of, like you said, have to be going to the playoffs, have to be going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you think the Raiders are like ready, or do they need a quarterback, strong quarterback?
You know, obviously, you know, we're not there yet. We're 8-9 this year. We had a coaching change halfway through the year.
Yeah.
And we still, you know, we turned it around. Like, once we had a coaching change and had AP come in, like, the whole thing changed. So, you just seen, like, we went to Arrowhead and beat the team who's about to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
With a rookie quarterback. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Our defense went from bottom of the league. Second half of the year, we ended up being the number one defense in the league. And overall, we ended up being a top 10 defense. So, yeah, you know, we need pieces. We know we need pieces, a few pieces to add. You know, the quarterback deal, like, Aiden came in, did a great job.
Yeah.
I know they're going to draft someone probably and have them compete. But, yeah, I feel like we're now, you know, now that we brought AP back, we have a chance to keep building on what we already started. So we got a lot of great pieces. It's just about adding a few more. And then having a full season, you know, with everyone on the same page. And
Were you serious about if Pearson didn't come back, you'd leave the Raiders?
I mean, you know, that whole deal, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that went into it. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I stand on what I said.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously emotion that go into it. You know, could have been a different way I went about it. But at the end of the day, I stand on what I said. I'm about elevating and winning and getting better every single year. And I've shown the team, and I've shown everybody, my teammates, that I'm doing that every single day. And every single year I go out there, I get better, and I want the organization to feel the same way.
Yeah.
And that's basically what my message was. Like, listen, let's go in the same direction. I'm doing this. I'm literally, my leg is about to fall off. Like, I'm still playing out of my hands, or my hands destroyed. Like, but I'm not going to stop until we get to where we go. I want everyone, not just the players, but the organization, everyone to feel the same way, because I'm trying to win, bro. Like, that's all that matters at the end of the day. And if you win, all the other comes with it. So that's kind of my message. You know, at the end of the day, people had their opinions on it. But for me, I wasn't coming from a bad place. Right. Everyone knows on the planet, I want to be a Raider. I got it tatted on me.
Yeah, you got
that. I never want to leave. I'm locked in for another 3 years at least at the current moment. So it's like, it wasn't like, screw the Raiders, I'm leaving.
Not.
It was like, no, let's get everyone on the same page. Listen, we got AP. We're going in the right direction. Don't change it up now and try to go back to square one. We've already tried that and did it. Why don't we give it a chance and let's see what happens? So that's kind of, you know, what my message was.
Is this the same knee that you injured? Was this like week three you got fucked up?
Yeah, so week two in Buffalo, I slammed my knee in the turf and my bursa blew up. So my whole knee was just filled with fluid. And then the only way it heals is if you rest, and it's week two, so there's no resting.
Fuck.
So literally every week for 16 weeks, I was draining.
Bro, that's different.
It was, bro, it was terrible.
And you still performed at such a high level.
Yeah.
And do you think you would have, like, I mean, what are people looking for next season then? Like, are you just going to be even more of a animal? I don't get it.
No doubt. It starts with the work for sure, but I don't like to think, you know, if I was healthy, it would have been this. Like, I know when I went on the field, I was ready to go. So regardless, it was that foundation built up to it, bro. I start in January, and the season ends in January. So it's, like I said, it's all year round. And I was prepared for it. It was different. I had to adjust. I couldn't practice as much as I wanted. I had to do a couple different things. But, like, I talk about all the time, and this is what helped me this year, was, like, you know, everything happens for a reason, and there's more than one street to get to where you want to go. Like, I had to go down an exit. I had to go to a different, you know, different routes. I couldn't do all the same things, but at the end of the day, mentally, I had to stay locked in. I couldn't be like, all right, well, I can't do this in practice. It's okay if I, you know, take a step back. People understand. Like, I refuse to let that get into my mind. Like, I'm gonna find a way to still put in the work, but be ready once it comes Sunday. But it was just, you know, I feel like mentally, it took me to another level. Like, helped me build up to a different level this year, because I had to battle a lot of shit and I was hurting. But
yeah,
we still found a way,
bro. It's
no
different
doubt.
Different mentality, man.
I appreciate it, bro.
Okay, so do you? I guess I'm really kind of curious, though, like, your childhood and your come up, man.
Yeah.
Like, and we'll talk a little about the addiction stuff after, but where do you really come from? Like, what is your childhood like? What is your family like? Are they here? Are they supporting you? Are they? Obviously,
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I'm originally from Lapeer, Michigan, out in the country, like right outside of Flint, Michigan. Super country town. I mean, I have Hadley Elementary, went to school. There's a trailer park right next to it. Out in the sticks, but it was awesome. Like, all my good friends, all my closest friends, we literally all lived on the same street. We grew up playing basketball, football, everything together. So yeah, my parents are together, they're still together.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up low middle class, but yeah, my family did well. And then around 2008, I think it was 2007, the whole market crashed, and my dad was in real estate.
Yeah.
And we lost everything. We lost a house, and my dad left. Like, he was trying to find work, basically. And so it was my mom and my brother and sister at the crib, and we were just waiting to figure out where we were going to move to, because we couldn't.
What age are you here?
I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
I was like 10. So I was sick to my stomach, because like, I didn't want to leave Michigan at all. And me, you know, obviously my siblings felt the same way, but my grandparents were out in Texas. So he was looking in Texas a little bit for work, and then he was looking in Florida a little bit, but my grandpa was in Texas. We move out there right as I was going into middle school. So I went to middle school and high school out in Texas. And then, it was on from there. Yeah. But it was tough, bro. Like, my parents, you know, the one thing about them, like, they've been, like, my mom's been working since she was 10 years old. Like, she's an immigrant. She came from Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
She's Serbian and Albanian. So I'm half that.
Do you know how to talk shit in Serbian or what?
Not fully. I know a little bit, but I'm not going to act like I speak it like that. But, yeah, you know, my mom's a worker. My dad's a worker. He grew up with a single mom. You know, my mom had 7 brothers and sisters growing up in, you know, inner city Detroit, as immigrants. So like, I come from that background. You know, my parents made it a lot easier on us. They made it, you know, there were struggles and shit like that, but they've never let us feel it. So I appreciate the hell out of them for it. And they were working all the time. So it was really like, most of the time my sister was little, but it was me and my brother just doing whatever. And we were wild. But, my upbringing, bro, it was good. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say like, it was the worst childhood or whatever. There was definitely adversity, but we made it work. And my parents, you know, did their best to not let us feel
it. It's got
to
be. I feel like, because people who really excel at anything, any sport, anything really, they seem to see kind of like the hard work it takes to at some point in family to be like, oh, damn. And then they kind of adopt that sort of mentality in their life in order to reach their goals. Right.
Yeah.
So at what point were you like, obviously you're a specimen, you're, what are you, like 6'4", 6'5"? How tall
6'5",
are you? Yeah, you're tall.
Yeah.
And you're just like, when did you realize football, you could really do it?
You know, that's a good question. I really was a late bloomer in high school, even. Like, I was a middle linebacker my whole life. I was short, stocky, chubby kid, like, growing up.
Yeah.
And then going into my last year of high school, I grew like 4 inches.
So come up.
It was crazy, bro. I'm like, let's fucking go. No, I was so hyped. So I got a lot bigger. I was goofy, like my body hurt, everything was like hurting. But I literally just, it was nobody coming after me. I had no film playing DN or anything, but they moved me to DN my last year. So the coaches were like, listen, just do what we tell you, you're gonna get an offer. So I'm like, that's all I want. I just want to play D1. Where it doesn't matter where it is, I want to play D1. So
I wonder, is it like, are you just like playing and you start playing, you realize like, whoa, I'm just better than everyone. Not better, you know, as a person, but just better in the sport.
That's the thing. In high school, bro, like my senior year, I wasn't that good. Like, that was my first year playing DN. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
So when I got that Eastern offer, I got it right before my senior year. I literally just went to a camp and they seen how I moved and like, we're offering you. So they were D1. They were literally the worst team in D1 at the time. They're like 1-11. I'm like, that's all I need. I'm originally from Michigan. I'm like, this is perfect. So I took that offer, went there, and I went to Eastern. I was like literally 6'5", 212, when I showed up. I was scrawny.
Holy shit.
I was skinny. Yeah, I was really skinny. I lost weight before I went there. Like, I had a weird thing where I wanted to, I don't know. I was playing basketball all the time, and I wanted to cut that baby fat when I grew.
You wanted to look lean?
I wanted to be lean. Bro, they showed up. They're like, bro, what are you doing? Like, they were freaked out, bro. They thought I had a stomach virus or something. Like, I had a bug. I wasn't eating. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, I cut the bad weight, and I'm going to put the good weight. They're like, they were concerned. But it worked out, bro. I went there. I redshirted my first year, and I won Scout Team Player of the Year. And I just went in practice every day, just figuring out how to play DN, and I was just killing dudes.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my confidence. And then 2 years later, I ended up being a starter. And then that first year as a starter, I took off.
Yeah.
And I had double-digit sacks, first team all conference like that. And that was my redshirt sophomore year. So after that, I was like, nah, this is real. Like, I know I could be one of the best. And then agents and all shit start coming after me and things like that. So once I got to that point, like, I was like, okay, now it's real. Like, I always believed I could do it, but once I finally put it together on the field, that's where my confidence, you know, went out the roof. And I was like, no, I could really do this. And then I played one more year at Eastern, and then I left a year early, went to the draft, got a combine invite, and then the rest
is history. What do you think separates, like, good? Obviously, everyone in NFL is good,
yeah,
right? Because they're in the NFL.
Yeah.
But good and, like, great players. Is it speed?
Honestly, no, in the NFL, it's everybody, like you said, everyone, it's the best of the best.
Yeah.
All the best players in the world. So everyone's got talent. Everyone are freak athletes, shit like that. But I've said it since day one. Like, after my second year, once I got my life cleaned up, got everything together, and started just going straight Kobe mentality with everything, nutrition, taking care of my body, sleep, training, like, just doing everything above and beyond. Like, yeah. I literally, every single category, and it's still, you know, I still do it to this day, even at a higher level. But that's what separates the best guys. Everybody's good, but who's going to put in that little extra work every single day in every category? And those are the best players. And I talk to all of them. Like, I go to the Pro Bowl and I just pick people's brains, and all the best guys are the same way. So we talk to each other at a different level, and they get to understand it. But there's some dudes who are just freaking natures, but never end up reaching that potential because they relied on talent. I didn't rely off talent. I wasn't even a good player in high school. Like, I had to work for it every single day. So now it's like, I'm not, like, just relying off talent. Like, I'm quick, athletic, like that, but I had to build my body up and get to that point. So that's what separates guys. It's just the mindset, bro. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. At greatness in any category is, like, how bad do you want it, and how, like, focused are you on it?
100%.
So it's interesting too, because you obviously came from the addiction. It was the alcohol, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mainly.
Overcoming that, like, at what point did that start?
Honestly, from day one. Like, when I started in high school.
Oh, you were drinking in high school?
Yo, hell yeah. Wow. And the first time I ever drank in high school, I was like, I'm in love. Like, this, I could go up to any chick and talk now. Like, I was a middle child redhead. Like, I wasn't the most confident kid growing up. And, so once I had the first drink of alcohol, I was like, I feel like a new man. So it just kind of, you know, what it was for me. So I went to college, I went to Eastern all the way across the country by myself, basically.
Yeah.
And now it's like, this is real freedom. I can do whatever the fuck I want. And it was the worst thing for me at the time. So it got worse and worse. And, you know, I was able to manage it to a certain extent, but I was always that dude that was too fucked up and didn't know how to handle my shit. So, I was able to stay afloat. And then once I got to the league, it just got worse and worse. And then it's not like college. Like, you're not at, you know, you're not at school all year round and shit like that. Like, once the season's over, do whatever the fuck you want. I could do whatever. But after my rookie season, then it just got worse. Like, I couldn't, I was completely out of control. I had no limit on what I could do. So, like, I was just partying and doing the most at all times. So when it got to a point, like, it was March 11th. That was when I got sober in 2020. And I called my girl, called my agent. I'm like, listen, I need help. Like, I woke up one morning, I was literally beat, like, sweating my ass off. Like, I felt like death. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, I'm going to literally run myself to the dirt.
Yeah.
And, at the end of the day, like, football is my purpose. Like, I know my purpose is bigger than just football, but there's no other thing on earth I'd rather be doing. There's nothing that is more, you know, I can give more of an influence on other people and help people. And it's just part of the story. So bro, honestly, it was after my rookie season got way out of control. And then I was like,
it's interesting though, how, like, it's cause I've watched interviews and stuff that you've done.
Yeah.
And you think even work ethic wise, like, you know, it was interesting saying how it was one of the worst things, like getting alcohol and getting that addiction. But in a weird way, kind of how most things end up happening is also becomes one of the best things for you, because you learn how to deal with it and you learn to overcome it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what all this stuff kind of comes down to. Everything you're saying, it all comes back to the same idea of like you realizing, obviously, okay, this is what I really want. Am I willing enough and mentally strong enough to say no to this that's f***ing me up and not getting me closer there?
Yeah.
And that mentality, like, to get out of like an addiction, because alcohol is a real addiction.
Hell yeah.
To get out of that real addiction and to put yourself in what you really should be doing.
Yeah.
That same sort of like mental fortitude it takes to say no to something that's so easy or so like pulling you.
Yeah.
Is why you're able to like probably continue to excel at the rate that you're excelling at.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. It's so accessible nowadays and so like normal.
Bro, yeah.
You see it on, it's, you know, every football commercial, there's a Bud Light or a whiskey or whatever it is. Like you see it all the time and it's become normalized. And for me, like, that's my superpower. My guy, you know, my sponsor, he told me that since day one. He's like, your sobriety is your superpower. He's like, there's nobody doing what you're doing on a daily basis. And I live in Las Vegas. I got a million bad influences around me. But the fact that I can stay locked in and stay dialed in and keep bettering myself as a person, like, I'm not perfect, bro. Like, I still have a million things I got to get better at. But I know, like, on a daily basis, I'm getting better and working towards that. So staying sober is number one before anything. If I stay sober, I got a chance. So that's all that matters. I wake up every day, thank God I'm here and that I'm sober and clean. And from there, you know, from then on, I can go and just keep improving. So
I was watching a podcast on Andrew Huberman's podcast with David Goggins. They were talking about like a part of the brain that actually like expands or shrinks based on you doing things that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Like, so at some point, obviously, like, don't want to do it in this sense, like, okay, alcohol's there. You saying, like, physically saying no to this, this sort of thing, like, expanding in your brain, it's also related to, like, dopamine and your ability to, like, overcome, like, the greater it becomes. So the more you say no to things that you really want to do, or the more you say yes to things that you don't want to do, the better you kind of become at that. And I think a problem in today's world is, like, most people just say yes to shit because it's easy, and they say no to because it's too hard.
Yeah. 100%.
So I think the more that you do those things that you don't want to do and you say no to the things that you really want to do, the better you are just as a person, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy because it's a real like physical thing that happens in the body.
Yeah.
And it's like the more you practice it, because I could recognize that for myself, like when I kind of start falling off on certain things like diet or like sleeping at the right times or doing all the things that made me good at what I'm good at, obviously it's way different than playing football. Just physically looking good, being able to perform at a certain level, I can look back and go, damn, the times that I just was like, I'll take this easy road, the easier it is to start taking the easy road.
No, 100%.
So how do you like not fall back into something like that?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to habits. I feel like that's anything in life. Like, it's routine. You know, once you start doing something over and over again, like you said, like once you get comfortable waking up at 9 a.m. instead of getting up at 6.
Yeah.
You just become more comfortable and you become normal. Your body's used to, you know, taking the easy route. So I'm glad you said that too, because that's a huge part of what got me here too. Like even in the off season, literally all year round, I get up, I'm 5:45 in the building by 6:15, 6:30 every morning. And there's nobody around. Like this off season, nobody has to be there till April. I'm in there bright and early, and I literally do that just so I wake up and I know I'm already a step ahead. Nobody else is doing this in the off season. I talk to everybody, guys around the league, shit like that. Nobody's doing it because it's easier to sleep till 8 a.m. But I do it. I'm already a step ahead, and it's a win right out the gate. Like I'm getting up at 5:45 in January and going in the building. I'm like, nobody's doing this. But over time, you keep doing that, you feel so much better. I'm done. I'm putting in 6 hours of work and it's noon and I'm going back home to my girl. I can do whatever I want the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Have my meal prep. I eat at the same exact time every day. I go to bed at the same time and I feel so much better the next day. But if I sleep in at 9, work out at 10:30, then I'm already 3 hours behind of how I usually work. And then, you know what I mean? I can't operate that way. But I have like an addictive personality. I'm obsessive about doing shit the right way. So the way I don't fall back into that is just stay in my routine religiously.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. Like some days I'm like, fuck, I do not want to get up at 5:30 right now.
It's not supposed to be.
It's terrible. That's the point. Yeah. But I know at the end of the day, I'm going to wake up and get up and do my, I'm going to feel 10 times better about myself. And I know I got better and took a step forward. So
that's really what it comes down to. I saw you do an interview with Sean and you were talking about doing things that you don't always do to kind of like maybe get some sort of an edge.
Yeah.
Right. Cause you started doing some like fighting. You were like sparring with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It's wild, bro. That was probably the craziest I've done. Sparring Strickland. But for sure, like I've been boxing for over 2.5 years now. So that's something I put into my training and it's helped a ton with football. His pass rush at the end of the day is hands, eyes, feet, coordination, timing, distance. Like it's all, you know, relative. So, boxing is huge for me. So once I got, you know, it took 2 years to go fight Strickland. I was like, I'm not going to go in there and get murdered.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, he kicked my ass, but you know, I was able to at least hold my own and land some shots and, you know, take some shots and defend myself a little bit. But yeah, you know, doing shit that's uncomfortable, like it makes me better. You know, every single day I'm looking for something to like, all right, what am I going to do that I really don't want to do? I can sit here and chill and relax. Like, how can I improve myself? And every single year I'm looking for more, you know, just finding that 1% in every category, whether it's doing Epsom salt bath 40 minutes every night. Like I added that this year. And like,
bro, hold on.
I do it every night.
These motherfuckers make fun of me. Everyone makes fun of me. Every I talk about night. Doing baths because I put candles and shit.
Oh, hell yeah. My dimmed. I'm bro, fucking I'm yo, Zen
the
mode.
Same person.
Every single night, bro. I added that this year, bro. It's changed.
Okay.
I love it, bro.
I've talked about this on podcast and I got flamed on this. I do really, really hot Epsom salt baths. I swear to you, bro, I get my best ideas ever.
I'm telling
you. It might be a blood flow thing and obviously like the recovery thing, but bro, I get the best ideas.
I'm telling you, bro. I literally have a setup. I have this big tub in my bathroom. I have my iPad, watch my film. I have my laptop and like, I literally just sit there. It's my favorite time, bro. I swear to God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's like that. I have a whole recovery like facility basically at my house. Now I got the sauna, the cold plunge, the Epsom salt baths, all that shit, the Normatex, game ready.
You ever use red light?
We have a red light at the facility now.
Yeah, so I'll show you. I got light. Everything you just mentioned, I have here. I have a room over there. I got the sauna back there, the cold hot tub
it's
over
the best,
here.
Bro. It's
obviously,
the best.
I'm not. You know, defensive player of the year or anything, but
it doesn't matter. Hey, I'm telling you, bro, once I'm done playing football, I'm gonna still be doing the same.
Yeah,
and yeah, bro, it helps. Like, even though you don't feel it after the first week or 2 weeks or whatever, over time, you realize, okay, why do I feel a little bit sharper? Why do I feel better physically? And you just do it over and over and over again. Like, I've been doing it for, like I said, over 3.5 years now.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how good I feel compared to when I was just thugging it when I was young.
I think it all comes back to that mental piece of like just doing the things that are difficult because all that stuff is like it takes a little time. Yeah, the sauna's kind of nice. The cold plunge is not nice.
No.
Like, but all those things that are like, but I have to do this. Obviously, there's tons of physical benefits, but I think the biggest benefit in all always comes back to the mind.
100%.
For sure.
And it's real because I remember when I like cold tubs, I used to, all right, I'm going to start at 3 minutes or I'm going to start at 2 minutes, whatever. Now it's, I do it like off season, during the season, I do full rounds of hot tub, cold tub, full 10 minutes submerged in the cold tub every single day.
You do 10 minutes?
Twice.
I do seven. Twice God. A
day. 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, bro. 36 degrees, freezing my ass.
Are you up to here?
No, I'm like, well, basically
okay,
shoulder,
yeah.
But basically. But
your big ass probably don't fit the cold
tub. Oh, barely. I'm slumped in there. But I remember when I first started, I was like, there's no way I could do more than 2 minutes. But over like 2 months later, I'm like, damn, I can stay in here for five.
Yeah.
And then it turns into eight. And now I'm doing.
It kind of goes 10. Numb. And you're kind of like, I could chill.
Oh, it's all mental.
Yeah.
The hardest part is just getting down in there.
Yeah.
Once you're in, you're like, okay, I can, I could do this. But
So who wins in a street fight, you or Sean Strickland?
A street fight?
Yeah.
I mean, if Sean Strickland should beat me in a street fight, there's no doubt. I'm not going to say I'll beat him. He's a killer, though. Like that dude, like.
Oh, he's a killer for
and
sure.
And sparring, too. Like, we did it was like NFL Films. They hit me up. They're like, hey, we want to, you know, we know you're boxing and stuff. You got anybody, you know, that we could have going there
like
and spar a little
people?
Bit? Like, this is like a joke. Yeah, like, they were like, yeah, just to get a little bit of footage, whatever. I'm like, the only guy I know who's a real fighter is Strickland because I've known him since, like, his come up. I went to the Apex. I met him a couple years ago. And he's, like, notorious for being an awful sparring partner. He just goes in there and beats the shit out of people. But I was like, we've talked about it before, but I'm like, fuck it. I was like, we got cameras and shit. I got nowhere to hide. I'm like, it's another being uncomfortable.
Yeah, you filmed it.
Oh, yeah. We did three-minute rounds, bro. And it was, I left that, but my nose was, the only thing I hold, like, prideful about is that I gave him a little bloodshed. I cut his lip, and I was like, that's all I needed. That's it. Landed, like, three punches. That's all I needed. It was fun, though, bro. It was fun.
Damn. No, props for that, because you step completely out of something that, like, you know, it's not football, right? It's something you're so... I mean, you did 2 years of it, but with someone who's been doing it like damn near his whole life, it's kind of like
it's like him coming out on the football field and trying to block me. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
if he blocks me one time, that's embarrassing.
Speaking of that, yeah. I seen a clip of you. You just call. Do you call everyone like little boy? You just disrespect people on the field or what? It's pretty funny, man. No. Like I saw this. You saw that clip. I mean, you're in it, but
of course.
Is it like I saw that guy being like, "Yo, he's kind of mean." He's like, "What the? Did you see that?"
Of course. Like last offseason, they did the quarterback came out, and I didn't even know was coming out. They did a whole thing on Mahomes, and I was just with Mahomes the whole time and kept punching him after the ball was thrown, and he was so mad. But like every time we go against each other, I'm just trying to with him and get in his head. And it doesn't matter, like Mahomes is one guy and it's obviously Patrick Mahomes, but like you can ask any quarterback, I do it to everybody. They just happen to catch it. And then this year they got me doing it to Minshew as well.
Yeah.
And I told everybody, I'm like, bro, go ask the quarterbacks in practice what I do to them. Like, I do it every single day, all year. And that's just kind of what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My job is to be a quarterback destroyer and an offense destroyer.
You got to get in their head, too.
And the quarterback's running the whole show. So I'm going to try to fuck with them, make them as uncomfortable as possible, literally all game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Mahomes and Kelce with the kicker at the Ravens?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, Tucker, you could tell Tucker was on the wrong side. Like when you warm up in the beginning of the game, like before the game, you got your Chiefs side, you got your Ravens side, you got the Raiders and Chiefs, whatever. And he was on the opposite side with all his shit lined up, and it was on the Chiefs side. And they just, you could tell they're like, get the fuck out of here. I've been that way too, though. Like when guys are running around or trying to be on our side, or like you could tell they're trying to, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, just so you
like,
think he was trying to fuck with them?
100%. That's why they were irritated. Like, bro, get your shit out of here. Like, it's our fucking side.
You don't think they're bullies?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a kicker, it's a quarterback, they'd probably do the same shit. But
yeah,
guys try to do that all the time, especially pregame. Like, I have my section, I'm doing my warm up and stuff, like the front corner of the end zone. If there's any dudes on the other team walking around, like, or trying to warm up or do some over there, like, that's not going to fly. Like,
yeah,
get the fuck out of here. Your side's over there. So,
yeah. What do you think about in the NFL? There was an announcer who got kicked off announcing from some NBC broadcast because he was like, yo, why do we keep showing Taylor Swift in the box? Did you see? Because it's getting interesting.
Yeah.
It's very social media-ish, like kind of. So what do you think about that guy getting removed? Because I guess he's not in the playoff, no more commentating because of that sort of comment I guess he made.
I mean, they push it hard, especially in the beginning of the year. That's all they talked about. They still talk about it, obviously, but it is Taylor Swift and it's the Super Bowl champ. So it's like, I mean, what else are they going
to
talk about?
Trying to get those views.
They're trying to get the views. It's a business at the end of the day. So yeah. I'm not surprised by it, but yeah, as a football guy, I don't like seeing all they talk about is Taylor Swift. I'm like, bro, I want to watch the football game, but it's no disrespect to her.
It's just funny. Like all you girls, they'll be like, oh, Taylor Swift's boyfriend. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm like, that's the best tight end in the league, bro. Like,
it's pretty
funny. Put
some
respect on his name.
But I think, like, I mean, they're probably somewhat getting a little bit of a new audience. Like, probably getting legit more girls maybe to watch. Maybe that was their goal. I don't know.
Because like, I remember it's set up.
I don't know, set up, but I'm just like, they're doing it on purpose for sure for the views, they're definitely getting a whole new audience to go be like, oh, what's this? Because that's her boyfriend.
Yeah. Even I mean, viewership like, in the league is the highest it's been
crazy
this year by far. So, I mean, it's not a coincidence, I don't think.
It's smart. I just think it's funny, though, man, when I see it.
It's so much, bro. It's so much. It's funny, though, seeing how everyone reacts to it. Some people hate it and think it's the worst thing in the world. Yeah. I'm like, bro, relax. It is what it is.
Did you see the AI images?
What, the Taylor Swift one? Bro, I mean, the internet, bro, nowadays it's undefeated.
It's undefeated, so weird,
bro. The Andy Reid one had me crying tears, bro. actual tears. I'm like, bro, what the fuck is going on?
Like, I'm wondering, like, in the lock, are like you guys talking about this shit? Like in the lock, like behind the scenes type.
Not really. No one really cares. I mean, the players don't care. They're not watching the game broadcast.
Right, of course.
Shit like that. So, yeah, nobody really cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they're like behind the scenes being like, yo, what the this? Because like so much talks about Taylor Swift now in the NFL. Yeah,
it's like a spectacle, but
it's crazy.
They're winning still. So,
do you have the N-word pass or what? Because I feel like you almost said it on a fucking video. I swear, dude. I swear I saw a video of you in the locker room and I was like, this guy, what am I?
No, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking. You're talking about the video with the
bro.
Yeah, no, I don't have the pass. Okay. No, I don't use it. I think that's the most corny thing on the planet when a white dude tries to use it and act like it's normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it, that's the funniest
thing
about
it. They definitely accept you into the community, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of...
Yeah.
Some of the closest people in my life are black dudes. Yeah. Some of the coolest people I know, same thing. So I'm not trying to be like anybody. I'm 100% myself. But yeah, I think it's just... I think it's hilarious because how it all happened. Like, I'm literally just having a normal day.
Yeah.
I practice in the morning. Raiders people come up to me, hey, you take this video, you know, get the people hyped for the game. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. Yeah. They do it all the time. So I'm like, what's up, y'all? Boom, I'm taking the video. He's funny as hell. I'm taking the video, and sometimes I stutter. Like, my brother stutters, I stutter. And I was like, y'all need to show up. And I stuttered when I said need. And yeah. I didn't even think two things of it. Like, I literally took the video, boom, handed it off, appreciate y'all, went in, took a shower, go to meetings. I'm just 2 hours later. I have meetings, not even thinking about it at all.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I get out of meetings. I check my phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on, bro? My phone is blowing up. And so I look at the video. I'm like, I just start laughing. And all these people are like, bro, what the fuck? Saying a million things. I'm like, bro, you can't do anything nowadays. Like, yeah. I know I didn't say it or try to say it or whatever. I'm like, bro, I'm literally taking a video for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, but I just thought it was funny, bro. I was dying laughing. So... Yeah, that whole situation was hilarious, and I was totally not expecting it at all, bro. It was hilarious.
So what do you have the most fun doing that's not football?
That's not football? I mean, I'm pretty simple at the end of the day. Like, I'm a homebody. I got a daughter now. She's 15 months. She's a wild animal. She's all over the place now, running around. So, I mean, being at home, being with my girls, I got three pits. They're like my children as well. And I'm not out at the clubs and anything. I'm not going to party. I like smoking cigars.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep it pretty simple. I like gaming. I go home.
What play games are you playing right now?
I play 2K.
Those sports games. I'm a shooter.
2K is my shit. I play a little Fortnite, but I'm not like a Call of Duty kid. For some reason, I never grew up playing Call of Duty. So
yeah
but besides that, I'm simple. I got my tight-knit family, my boys. I got my own podcast now, The Rush. So that's something you got
to
come on.
Oh, I'd love to.
You got to come on. Yeah, we do. You know, we're doing some good shit. So yeah, I'm doing the podcast and I'm really just dialed in all the time. It's football, routine,
work,
business, work.
What are the business stuff you got going on?
I mean, I've got equity in a few different companies now. Got the Slate Milk. So shout out to Dana.
Oh, that's fire, bro.
It's fire.
Yeah.
It's fire. So, you know, I got equity in that. In business in general, like I've really had to, I got some good people around me. I mean, Dana, Michael Rubin, those kind of guys that have helped me a lot as far as, you know, how to take that next step and being, you know, not just a football player, but business. Like, I got my contract and that's great, but like, how can I take it to another level? And that's something I'm really interested in. So like guys like Shaq and, you know, a lot
of guys are crushing
it. Yeah. And I've been super interested. So last offseason, I met a lot of people. Sat down, like literally went out of my way to just reach out to people. Hey, I want to spend an hour with you. Just put me on some game. So got in with Dana, you know, with the Slate thing. He helped me out and met, you know, I got to meet some good people. Zen Water as well. Yeah. Got in on them. Great people over there. Just trying to, you know, find different avenues so I can stay locked in. So like when I'm done, I want to have 10, 15, you know, real estate properties and then 20, you know, different businesses I'm in on. So I'm not just ending my football career and then it's like, all right, what do I do now?
Yeah, because a lot of guys, I don't know if the stats are pretty insane about people who play football and then like go broke like 5-10 years later.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like
it's
crazy. Nuts.
No, it's nuts. And that's the thing. A lot of guys wait till they're done to try to figure out what the next step is. For me, you know what I mean? I don't spend any other time when I'm not in the building or training on I'm not going out and wasting my days or wasting my time having fun and clubbing and shit like that. My fun is like, all right, what's the next thing work. I can get better at? What's work? Like, how can I get better at my job? And how can I get in a room with a Michael Rubin? Like, I literally just hit up Rubin. I hit up Rubin for years, and I didn't even know who he was, what he did. And, you know, obviously he's as Fanatics, and he's linked with all these people. I'm like, if you give me an hour, I want to ask a bunch of questions and whatever. Sat down with him, and now, you know, a year later, I'm with Fanatics now.
Yeah.
He's helped me a ton and just as far as advice and learning from him. And different people like that. And Dana was the same thing. Like, I literally just loved the UFC. I would go to the UFC events.
Yeah, yeah.
I show up and did my thing. And then a couple years into it, we run into each other. We meet, we talk. And then fast forward last offseason, he's like, bro, come to Boston with me. I'm like, all right. So we went to Boston, went to UFC event, went to London together, went to Miami together. And like his people at the UFC, like they're like my family now. So yeah. Little like that, bro. It's just about actually like starting a relationship and just being genuine, like not asking for shit. I never asked Dana for nothing. Like I literally just myself and, you know, we just became cool. And that's what, you know, in business now, it's really about just who you're cool with.
Yeah,
and like
network.
You got a genuine relationship, someone will be like, hey, put in 100K on this and we're going to do this. So that's another thing. I'm starting some people over with the UFC, Marty Cordova and all those guys were opening a wellness center with all the recovery in Vegas. So that's something. Yeah, that's something we're about to get done too. So yeah, it's in the works. But yeah, just a ton of shit, just staying locked in and improving and, you know, generating actual wealth and creating an empire with all my people. That's why the podcast is another thing.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to do a
podcast. You're great at this.
No, I appreciate it, bro. Yeah. But like, that's literally, I want to start a podcast. Ben wanted to do it. Started from ground zero. All my friends, like I got my video guys, a buddy of mine, my marketing dude, all my like day one boys and my college teammates from Eastern. And now, you know, we got some deals on the table and you know, we built it up just organically. So yeah, just staying locked in.
What do you want the podcast to be like? Is it like a sports sort of focus thing?
Yeah. So we literally, the idea kind of came from Draymond, how Draymond did like the post-game reaction, and his was more like controversial type shit.
He's more controversial.
That's just him in general. Just everyone. Like, all right, I'm gonna piss somebody off today. But that really wasn't it for us. Us, you know, our show is, we did post-game reactions, but it was just like showing love, you know what I mean, to the other guys and giving recognition to some of the other rushers or other guys, players around the league that really don't get that type of recognition. So yeah, you know, we literally started from ground zero with we bought some cameras, got a nice little setup, and you know, it's like night and day from, you know, the start of it. But yeah, man, we literally did it during the season. We, you know, got a format, got a plan, and we've been rolling with it. So it's just been getting better and better. And, you know, during the off season now, there's no game, so we're going to take it to a different level. You know, we're going to have a lot more people coming on, different guests, and not just football, but, you know, people like Floyd Mayweather, friend of mine, like just different people from all walks of life. So
you gotta have Dana. Yeah. He's really good on podcasts.
Dana's 100%. Him, it's just scheduling. So
we gotta have you on the Full Send pod. They just brought me back as a host there.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I did Full Send last off season. It was just.
Well, I want to do what you want.
We have to. It was Steiny and Kyle and the Liver King.
Oh, that's right. That was and Sean came on that one too, right?
Yep. Yeah. O'Malley came on after, but yeah, that was when the Liver King was like taken off at that time, and then all the allegations came.
What do you think about that? What do you think about like lying though about stuff like that?
I mean, if you're gonna be juicing or taking me and Nico just talked about this yesterday. Just be straight up about it. I mean, people will respect it. Joe Rogan talks about it. Dana, they're on TRT and like that. When you get older, it's honestly, as people say, it's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, as far as testosterone, taking a little bit in doses if your doctor agrees, like, okay, you're a little bit low here, this can help you. Like, so I totally understand that. Being a player, obviously, I literally know nothing about it. But like, you see a ton of people doing it. Liver King's a 45-year-old man.
Yeah.
Bro, we know you're on some your abs and everything. You look like a monster. It's like, bro, if you would have came out straight up and be like, yeah, I take human growth hormone and blah, blah, blah. People would be like, all right, well, nobody's surprised.
Yeah, I think people think that saying I don't do it is going to make people look at them like, oh my God, you're even more special.
100%. Like, but people don't really care. And I mean, if you look like that, that's not natural, bro.
No.
You could just tell. It's not hard to just, you could spot somebody and be like, yeah, he's taking some.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So on the lineman, the O-lineman, who's the softest?
Who's the softest O-lineman? I mean, I'm not gonna.
Damn, I want to. I'm not gonna do that. Sorry.
I mean, they know who they are. When I see them, I let them know. When I see them, I let them know every single time. So Who's the toughest? I would say.
By the way, good job not answering that question.
Yeah, I'm not answering that. Yeah, yeah. They know who they are. But I would say the two toughest got to be Trent Williams and Penei Sewell from Detroit. Okay. They just played yesterday, but those two guys, I played both of them. And they were like straight, like me and it, like it was war every play.
What makes them tougher? They're just like the non-quitting.
I would say that it's just a mixture. I mean, it's all the best players have that similar quality where, you know, I'm the alpha. Like I'm gonna win. I don't give a f- who it is. I'm gonna find a way to win. And when you got a mixture of athleticism and you're strong as shit, and you're not going to give up. Like, you put those three things together, and it's, you're going to be a great player. So those two dudes, like, Trent Williams is massive. Yeah. Penei Sewell, big. He's big as hell, but he's athletic and strong, and he's tough as hell. And there's not many guys, like, you know, you step in the league, everybody's really good. But when the mental part of it, when it really gets hard, being great under duress when you're tired and feel like, that's what separates the guys like myself or Trent Williams.
Yeah.
Like, there's no quit in my body. Like, I'll literally go until I physically can't go anymore.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, when you're at that level, when you're playing against another team, you're just like, this is that guy. I got to get past him, though.
Yeah. But you look forward to it because it brings the best out of you. At the end of the day, like, those are my favorite matchups. I don't circle one guy, like, all right, we're playing them, I got to be at my best. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. I'm going to be out there on my shit. But, like, there's a little bit raised sense of awareness when I'm going against this dude's a Pro Bowler, all pro, and everyone's hyping it up all week. They're like, yeah, this is the heavyweight matchup. These two motherfuckers. And I, like, for me, I take that personal. After the game, I don't want it to be, oh, Max got locked up. Like, I refuse for that to be out in the public. So every time I go, no matter who it is, like, I got to be on point, because once you get to that level, no matter what, you're going to be, either you're going to get all the love, or if you don't play at your absolute best, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
football, man, the fans are so serious.
That's how it goes. And, like, you could ball out too. And some fans, if you don't just completely wreck the game, they're like, oh, we got his fucking ass locked up and blah, blah, blah. But that's just, like, a part of the internet. Like, you understand, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, when the game ends, like, oh, yeah, I whooped his ass. It doesn't matter what the, you know, public says. Yeah. The other fans are always going to shit on you if they win the game. And you didn't have three sacks and be like, oh, we stopped him and blah, blah, blah. So that's just kind of part of the game. And
it's got to be interesting, though, now. Like, it's different now for sure. Social media has changed so much in so many sports, because there's you have so much commentary from, like, you know, you get on Twitter and people are, like, probably talking, saying whatever.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Does that ever affect you?
When I was young, I used to read into everything and be like, oh, fuck. It could be 20 good comments in that one comment. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
But that just kind of what it was. But as I gotten older, like, I'm numb to it. Like, I truly don't care. Because if I watch the film, I watch the film immediately, right after the game. Boom. Yeah. All right, I whooped his ass. And I already know. Like, you know what I mean? So people could say whatever they want. But for me, like, the film doesn't lie. So people are going to have their opinions. After the Colts game, like, after the Minshew came out, they beat us. And I didn't have a sack. I had one of my better games overall. Like, I was killing dudes out there, but fans don't know that. They don't know football. Like, they don't watch the film. So they won, and they saw me talking to Minshew. The whole Colts, every Colts fan on the planet was blowing my comments up. You suck. Minshew's your daddy. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just laughing, bro. Like, and my friends, like, to a certain extent, like, they don't understand how it is being in that shoes. Like, bro, you good? Whatever. I'm like, bro, I care less, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I know how it is at the end of the day. I go to sleep with a smile on my face. You know, I put the work in, and it is what it is. Just part of the game.
I always wonder what it's like in the like halftime when you guys are down, you're losing, you come, like, are people mad at each other ever in the locker room? Like, yo, bro, what the f-? It is such a, like I said earlier, such a massive team sport where you got to do your job. If you do your job, great. You have to.
Yeah.
But when you know, you got the other side, whatever it be, like, the offense is not doing it. Are people ever like, yo, bro, what the f-? Are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's comes down to accountability. I mean, there's always going to be moments, especially in the league. It's, bro, you have 17 games, and every game matters. It's not like college, like, where you're expected to just roll through 10 out of the teams, and you know what I mean. It's not like that. So you got to be on point at all times, and you need the offense to be good. You need the defense, the people to step up and help. So yeah, there's times where I got to get on. I don't, if it's a rookie or an 8-year vet, like, I've had to get on dudes and motherfuck them if, you know, they're bullshit, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's part of being a leader, though. Like, I love being a captain, being a leader, because, you know what I mean? I've had to earn and work for that respect. And if shit doesn't look right, or somebody's bullshit, or not running the ball the right way, like, you know, I'm not afraid to go at them, but it's not like an attack. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you address it the way you address it, and then people respond how they respond. And, like, if guys take that as, like, offensively, then they shouldn't even be there in the first place. So that's kind of how you just weed out, you know, the guys that, you know, shouldn't be playing. For sure.
I wonder how many people are like, because you play with that injury for such a long time. I wonder how many people are just, like, constantly dealing with injuries.
I mean, it's common. I mean, in the NFL, I mean, you see it every year. There's more and more injuries, knees, ACLs, all type of crazy concussions all the time. Like, it's literally, you're out there, it's a full-blown, like, head-to-head contact constantly. In the trenches, it's every single play almost.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't avoid it. You know, the only way to, you know, lower your chances of getting hurt is doing all the shit I do every day. It's taking care of my body the right way, doing everything so I'm as flexible as I possibly can be, because there could be a pile and someone fall into the side of my knee.
That's probably when people probably mostly get injured too. Like the scramble type.
Not paying attention if somebody falls into you. Like, that can happen, but like, that's something I pride myself. Like, I stretch every single night, 12, 15 minute routine. I've done it. I do it every night. If I'm on the road, if I get back at 2 a.m. from a flight, I'm stretching before I go to bed. Because like that, if there's been some times on film, like I can show you clips where I've been rolled up on or been in a weird position. And if I wasn't as flexible as I am, which I think separates me in a lot of ways, like, I could have blown my knee out many times or blown a hip out. Like, there was a play last year where I fell like full body weight on one leg and my was like, the average person's leg would have blown out.
Yeah.
But like, that stretching and recovery, like, you know, it helps. I feel like it does. Like, sometimes it's unavoidable. Like, you could have a non-contact, stick your foot in the ground and blow your knee out.
Yeah.
That happens too. But like, I feel like it lowers your risk. I know it lowers your risk if you do all the right every day.
Yeah. Do you plan to stay with the Raiders for good?
I want to. Yeah. You know, I want to retire a Raider. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
I love being a Raider. You know what I mean? I feel like it's who I was born to be on. I feel like it fits exactly who I am.
Yeah.
Mark and the whole, you know, front office guys, like, I got a ton of love for him. You know, recently he was a little, you know, upset with me about the whole deal that went down. But at the end of the day, like, that's any relationship. It's not going to be perfect, smooth sailing. And
yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it sounds like you just want to win.
That's all that matters to me, bro.
Yeah.
And I want him to win. You know, that's the thing. I'm not coming from a selfish perspective where it's like, you know, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm going to get my money regardless, whatever. Like, it's not that. I want to win here, and I want him to win and have success. And I want him to trust his instinct. You know what I mean? Not be influenced by the wrong people. You know what I mean? So that's really, really what it comes down to.
Did you see? Because, dude, Oakland's lost, like, they lost, like, everything. They lost all their teams. They recently lost In-N-Out Burger. Did you see that?
No,
I did not. The first In-N-Out ever to close, because they was like getting robbed. People were getting robbed at, like, crazy.
That's fucking wild.
But Raiders, like, everything has moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
And Oakland's, like, lost all their teams, everything.
I feel bad, bro. Yeah. I mean, Oakland, when we were there, was rough. I mean,
yeah.
I got car broken into. Had to get a rental, and the rental got stolen straight out the parking lot.
Like, oh, rental?
Rental. Gone. Fuck. Never seen again. That's like Oakland, bro. You literally, once they change the laws, it's just like, it's like a slap on the wrist, basically, to break in cars now. Yeah. So you park on the street, 2 minutes later, your shit's getting run through. So yeah, Oakland was wild. I mean, Oakland was wild. I can't tell you. I had a teammate, Kyle Wilbur, great vet of mine, and he got a motorcycle brand new.
Like, no, 30, that's it. Go. You can, bro, pick that up.
Bad motorcycle. Someone literally hopped on that and drove off a week later. He bought like 40. It was like 40K in cash or 30. Fuck. That was gone in less than a week.
Damn, yeah. Bro.
And my other teammates, I have stories on stories about just. I mean, it was all the time.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So how is it? How is it in Vegas overall?
Vegas is great, bro. Yeah. I love Vegas. Like,
that stadium's insane, dude.
Stadium's crazy. I mean, Vegas is smaller than people realize. Like, you got Henderson, Summerlin, and you could raise your kids. It's quiet, great people. You wouldn't even know it's Vegas. But then you go to the Strip, you want to go have a great dinner, go gamble, do whatever. You can go 20 minutes down the road and go do it. So that's why I love Vegas, because it's literally the best of both worlds. And I plan on staying there. Like, regardless, I just, you know, closing on a new house in Summerlin, but I plan on staying in Summerlin. Yeah. Just got a new place, so
I love it out
there.
It's
beautiful, bro.
Yeah,
beautiful.
I'm gonna open a gym out there eventually, and I want to get a spot out there for sure.
No, we got to talk about that. We'll do some.
I was gonna, because when you talked about the clinic thing, I was like, I was gonna do the same.
Hell yeah! No, we literally just talked. Yeah, we just got that in the works. We're gonna do a cool wellness center and do it the right way. It's something I believe in, and that's something too with the business part. It's like, you don't just do it because to do it. Like, it's got to make sense, and I like having that I actually am passionate about, or that's really won't care.
Because it's shit you actually do.
Yeah, shit that,
like,
I do.
The stuff that you were talking about, the recovery. Yeah. That's why all the stuff that I really have at this point in my life, and the things that are most successful, are all things that I really do. Like, the gym stuff, I really did it.
100%.
And I think that's how you get things and you make them truly successful.
Yeah, because you care about it and you put your full energy into it. If you don't give a about it. It's just a paycheck at the end of the day. And then eventually it fizzles out. But like, if you're passionate about something, it makes it 10 times better. And that's what, you know, even the Slate Milk, like I got Slate Milk now in the building. So all the guys are walking around with Slate cans and having it post-workout. And now I got a part of my routine. It's in my post, you know, workout meal. So yeah, just that actually relates to what I do is, you know, it's important.
So do you want to parlay this into like some sort of commentary role? It sounds like you talk, you mentioned people like Shaq and like, obviously he's got crazy business outside of, you know, his respective sport. Yeah. He's doing the commentary stuff. Cause I think you could, like, obviously not right now, cause your main focus is football.
Yeah.
But is that something in your future you want to go towards?
I don't think commentary is what I want to do. You know, honestly, the guys that, you know, I look up to in that space is more of like the Pat McAfee Barstool type.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just being real. Like, I don't want to be buttoned up, having to be reading the teleprompter, like being told what to say.
Yeah.
That's not my personality at all. If I want to do it, it's just like anything. Like, I want to be passionate about it and be 100% myself. So, yeah, that's kind of what our inspiration was like the Pat McAfee. Like, he's got literally his day one boys with him.
Yeah.
They do their they're 100% them and authentic. And people see that and feel it. So that's literally what I did. Like, all my guys on my show, it's my co-host, Brogan. It's my best friend. He was my quarterback at Eastern. And then my other two guys on the show are Darian and Creel. And Creel was a receiver. Darian was an old lineman. And we were literally, like, they're the OGs. Like, when I got to Eastern, went on my official visit, these were the guys. They had the football house. They literally took me under their wing since day one. So, like, I'm the youngest of the group. So these are like my brothers. So it just makes it 10 times more fun. And you're doing work with your guys. And then you keep it black and white. Like, this is what we're doing. We're not f***ing around. Like, we're still going to do this the right way. Because when you have your friends around, you know, people tend to, like, you think you get a little bit more leeway and shit like that. But, like, no, like, we're going to take this to the top. Like, well, whatever level we get to, we're going to get to. But, like, we're going to do it the right way and give us a real chance. So all my boys, like, we're 100% on the same page. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun, bro.
Yeah, and I think when you do anything, like we said, from that space of like truly wanting to do it, like for the right, like even the fact that right now you're like, you would probably get the biggest bag from doing commentary.
Yeah.
But your answer is, I want to do it this way, kind of my way, a little bit more just truthful to you, yourself.
Yeah.
That's when, especially nowadays, like you see it on social media, like so much is moving away from like mainstream kind of, whether it be commentary, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because people are way more interested and invested in like, you know, some creator who's making content about something, because it's 9 times out of 10 just genuinely what that person thinks, not what, you know, maybe some corporation wants them to think or say.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the thing. Like, you see McAfee do you know, College Game Day and shit like that now, and he's doing WWE and all type of different stuff. And you see Gronkowski's now doing it, and Brady. Like, a deal like that where somebody wants to bring you in because you are who you are and like they like your personality for what it is. Like, McAfee goes on the shows and is 100% himself. He doesn't try to be anybody else. And something like that, I would be interested. Like, if it was one time a week where I go on a Sunday and go talk NFL with some guy, like, I would do that for a business if I could actually be myself. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Be like, all right, you can't say this and this and blah, blah, blah. Like, I would, you know, I would consider something like that. I mean, there's so much money being thrown around in that space. It's unbelievable. Like, Tom Brady has a $375 million deal. I mean, just for TV, that's more than all his NFL contracts combined.
So crazy.
Which is insane. So, like, if something, you know, obviously that's a whole another level. But, like, by the time I'm done, I expect to be a Hall of Fame player. And I expect to, you know, be one of the greats to do it in my era. So, you know what I mean? If something like that comes across the table where I'm going on the weekends to do it. Like, I love staying busy and doing work. So that's something that, you know, I would consider.
What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you like when it's all said and done? What do you want to leave behind truly?
Yeah, the number one thing for me at the end of the day is legacy. Like, that's what I care about most. I want to be remembered for all the right reasons when it comes to being a football player. One thing I pride myself, like, it's little, but like people talk about it often, but it's like the amount of snaps I played. Something simple as that, where if I could change the game and have people really reconsider how the DM position is played, then I've done my job. You know what I mean? I'm playing 1,080. I played 1,080 snaps this year, by far the most in my position. Like, I played 95% of the snaps, which D linemen don't do, period. So, and I do it at a high level. So if I could do that and change the mold of, okay, this dude is, you know, he's an animal. He's doing it every single down. He's not coming off the field, and doing it at a high level, it'll make people reconsider, like, okay, maybe like if Crosby can do this, like maybe we're not doing it the right way.
Yeah, we're like,
if
kids
I'm
coming up, be like,
yeah,
oh,
if I'm
be
coming
like,
off every other possession, like which a lot of guys do, like maybe that's a cardio issue or you're not doing something right in the offseason. So like if I'm able to change the game and the way I play, like fly around the field, like I don't have no regard for my body when I play. Like I want people to look back and be like, yeah, that dude was different. Like,
yeah,
he, you know, at the end of the day, you can look at stats and all these, you know, all the shit that comes with it, but like it's all about the film. Like you turn on the film and watch me play compared to everybody else, I want them to say like, no, nobody's playing like that.
Yeah.
And so when I have coaches and other players calling me and telling me like, bro, what do you do in the offseason? What do you, that's the best compliment, bro. Like
yeah.
Every game, I can't tell you how many guys come up and how many coaches are like, what are you doing? Like, how are you able to, I'm like, I do it every day. And like, I don't just say it. I'll sit down and we could break down the whole day, the whole off season. I tell you exactly what I put in my body. But it's, you know, most guys aren't willing to do that. Like, it's the ultimate sacrifice. But for me, if I do it for 12 years, 15 years, and I look back, I'm 35 when I'm done, I'll have zero regrets. And I can do whatever the fuck I want to do the rest of my life. That's what I want to leave back, is just have zero regrets and leave a legacy. It's like my relentless play style. I want that to make people consider, like, reconsider how the position is
played. Yeah, I have kids coming up, like, from high school being like, yo, you got to do it like Crosby.
Yeah, you got to do it like him. Like this dude, that's literally the ultimate goal.
That's so cool, man.
For sure, bro.
So what about just as a human?
Yeah.
Not as a football player.
Yeah, I mean, as a person, the number one thing, like I want to have a big family. Like I already have a daughter. Plan on having more kids. And for me, you know, like I said, sobriety is number one. If I stay sober, I have a chance in anything I do. And that's, like I said, it's my superpower. So being a, you know, when I'm done or off the field or whatever, I want to be the best version of myself. It's not just being all in on football. Like I want that to translate off the field as well. So whether that's being a dad, whether that's being a business owner, whether that's being a part owner, whatever it is, like I want to be remembered as a great person. Like every single day, like I know people say all the time, like, yeah, I want to be a great guy, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it's about action. Like when people talk about me, I want them to, you know, remember me for being a loyal, down-to-earth, real individual. Because there's a lot of people that get money and they change. And that's, like, the biggest turnoff. And, like, when I was a kid, I was like, I'll never be like this dude. Because my mom was a waitress. Like, I'm not going to say who she ran into when she was in Detroit when she was young. But, like, there's big-name players that she ran into. She's like, this is 20 years later. My mom's like, this motherfucker, he didn't tip me shit. And
people remember that shit.
Everywhere I go, like, this is something I got from Dana, too. Everywhere he goes, he tips the shit out of people and takes care of people. And people in need are, like, friends need something, put them in a position to succeed. That's what I want my, you know, legacy off the field to be. It's like, I want to be a boss in my own right, but help the people that help me, you know, along the way and just give them an opportunity. You can hand out money, but at the end of the day, it literally does nothing. They're going to come back and say, hey, I need this, or hey, my bill's behind. I want to put people in position. So whether it's doing the podcast, I got getting my buddies actual money in their pocket.
Right.
I'm doing, you know, business and getting other people involved. I got a photographer. This kid in Vegas named Slime, he's a young kid. He's 20, 22, 23 years old. He's editing videos. He's doing behind the scene vlogs. Now I'm getting him paid to do shoots for Men's Health and different shit.
Yeah.
And just put money in his pocket. So like, that's literally, you know, what I want to do. And I get a lot of the shit I get off the field is what Dana's doing. Because the way he is with his people and how he takes care of people and just treats people the right way, it always comes back in the end. If you're an asshole, you can have success for 20 years. That's gonna bite you in the ass in the end. So I try to treat, you know, from if I'm in the building, I treat Mark Davis just like I treat Hugo the janitor.
Yeah,
no matter what it is.
Well, I remember when I first met you, man, you were so just like, oh yeah, what's up? You weren't like, oh, I do this, that's what I,
no, I don't,
you were cool as
I just try to be myself, bro. And I'm still a kid at the end of the day. I'm still growing as a person. I don't try to say, hey, I'm perfect, I'm better than you. But I know, like, at the end of the day, like, I got my heart's in the right place, so I can sleep at night. And that's what it's about. Like I said, like Hugo the janitor, I see this dude every day, is my boy. Like, I treat him just as good as I treat anybody else. And like guys like that, I'll bring him to a game. I'll have him bring his family out. You know, if I got a suite now at the game. So if I have some random people, a fan or whatever, that's a huge diehard fan, I'll be like, boom, come to the game.
Yeah, first thing you told me, you're like, yo, come out to a game, no problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but that comes back. And I truly believe in that, bro. And Gus Bradley, my old D coordinator, he said the same shit. Like, whatever, if you give with no intent to receive, it comes back twofold. And I truly live by that. No question.
Damn.
No question.
I just wonder when you were on your way up, like, cause this mentality, right? Did you Did you have it the whole time, or did you sort of adopt it by seeing people that you saw who had success? Like, were you, did you have inspirations is what I'm saying for this?
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, I didn't come in, you know, into the NFL and have a bunch of leaders in the locker room. You know what I mean? It wasn't a bunch of guys I looked up to. It was kind of, how can I get on the level of a Von Miller or Aaron Donald or Chandler Jones at the time? Like guys like that. So when I came in as a rookie, I literally got on Instagram. I DM'd all the best players who I thought were the best players. To this day, Von Miller is like a brother to me.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, literally like anything I need, I can hit up Aaron Donald. We just were talking yesterday. Yeah. Like I was like, I want to be at your level. How the f*** do I get there? So asking guys like that, stepping outside of my comfort zone and like asking real questions. All right, what did you do as a rookie? What did you do with nutrition? How are you recovering? Like that. Dude. And I just put it all together. And
you that's know what's how crazy about it. That? Like, I had the same conversation with Ronnie Coleman, one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time. Yeah. He did the same shit when he came in to like bodybuilding. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he like took everyone and just like, I mean, in that sport, he just dominated everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's definitely like there's so much game and so much knowledge to take. Yeah. It seems like your biggest piece is that just sort of mental fortitude to like just be better every single day, which is such a common thing that everyone says and everyone's like, yeah, that's what you got to do. But you could tell there's a difference between people who really do it and people who just talk about it.
Yeah, of course. You could talk about it all day. I used to be, when I was a rookie or a second year guy, I used to talk like, I'm going to be the best and whatever, but I wasn't actually doing it every day. That's the only way you do it is putting in the work, have discipline, and do it every day. And you got to be obsessive about it. Yeah. At the highest level, whatever you're doing, if you're doing bodybuilding, you're doing podcasts, no matter what walk of life, if you want to be at the top of that, you have to do it every day and you have to sacrifice constantly. Like, I'm in the building first every single day, and I'm gone. It's dark outside. I get home. My daughter's already asleep. Wednesday through Friday, like, I don't even get to see my daughter.
Damn,
but
by
Saturday, I get to chill with her and do my thing or whatever. But, like, that's the unfortunate sacrifice that comes with it, but that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for them. I want my daughter to live the best life possible. I don't want her ever to have a worry.
Yeah.
And I want to raise her the right way. My wife... We used to, like, even, like, over a year ago, like, it got to a point my routine was so, like, diligent that she was, like, she's thinking I hate her and I don't even want it. You know what I mean? And she's going crazy. And, like, we were fighting all the time. She's like, you don't even spend any time with me? I said, listen. And we sat down, like, State of the Union type shit. And I said, listen, this is what we're doing. Like, this is what I want. And this is not going to change. And I'm only going to do more and get better. And, like, if you want to be a part of this, like, I want you to be a part of this. You've been with me since day one. She was with me before I ever made a play in college or nothing. And she played soccer. Like, she was a star soccer player.
Yeah.
So, like, she's seen it since day one and it's been a part of the whole journey. I'm like, listen, this is where I'm going. And I need you. And I want you here to be a part of it. But you have to understand this is what I'm chasing. And this is what I'm working towards. So, I need to spend more time with you. Of course, I can be better at that. But, like, we have to be on the same page. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be easy. And I literally got her the book, the Tim Grover book, Relentless.
Yeah.
I gave it to her and I said, read this book. And Tim Grover, we connected. We're good friends now. And it's like I'm reading exactly my life.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it's further solidified. All right, I'm not f***ed up. If I want to be at that level, if I want to be a Hall of Famer, it's not easy. And there's no balance. People talk about you need a balance, a home life. When you're in it, it's impossible. I'm in the building 13, 14 hours a day.
Yeah,
every day. That's not a balance.
Yeah.
I'm home for 3-4 hours before I go to bed and I'm back in it. So, like, if you have somebody in a team around you that understands that, you're going to keep getting better and getting better, because that's the hardest part, is having people that understand it. And that's the only way you can, you know, do it and, you know, maintain it.
So your wife, she fully understands it now?
Oh, 100%.
Or she still have times where it's like,
There's times where, like, you know, from a recovery standpoint, where I'm gone 13 hours a day, first thing, Normatec, then I'm game ready.
Yeah.
And then watch a little film, I eat dinner, boom, and then I'm 40 minutes straight naps and salt bath. That's like all season long. Yeah. So it's like our time together, our window is not the same, but, like, she understands it and she'll take a bullet for me, like, legitimately. She's been through everything with me, my addiction. She's been there by my side the whole time. So
that's beautiful.
She understands it. And there's, of course, we've had ups and downs a million times, but at the end of the day, I always ran back to her because I knew she was genuine. She didn't give a shit about money, about none of that. She just genuinely loves me and cares for me. So when you have somebody like that that gets it, it makes my life 10 times easier because I'm not worried about, you know, is she in it for the right reasons? Or I didn't get with her once I got in the league. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. She got with me when I had no beard. I had Eminem bleach hair.
No beard.
I had no beard. I looked fucked up. I looked like a little kid.
No beard is hilarious.
No
bro.
Beard and bleach blonde hair. I looked all the way fucked up. And she was with me. And I had a man bun at one point. I was like 18 years old. And she was with me then. I look at the pictures. I'm like, yeah, she's a real one. She's a real
dude,
one.
Dude, no beard and a man bun is comedy.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was something else. So, yeah, she was with me at those times. I mean, she's in it for the long haul.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, dude. Well, yeah. I love what you're doing, man. And if there's any way I can help support, I'm fully there.
No doubt. And I mean, when it comes to the gym in Vegas, we'll definitely
talk. We got to talk that up for sure.
No doubt.
But,
no
bro,
doubt.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's 100%. Been an honor. It's been a blessing, man.
You're the man, bro.
Yeah, no, you are the man, bro. Straight up.
No, I appreciate it.
I like
it,
the mentality, everything, bro. It's like, it's different. And it's always cool to talk to people who succeed at the highest levels because, like you said, it's always the same.
Yeah.
Everyone always has the same sort of like, you have to be a little crazy about your goals.
Yeah.
Like, I love what you said about balance. And at this point in your life, there can't be balance. Obviously, you want to work towards as much as you can.
Yeah.
But it just can't be balanced, man.
No, it
can't. If you want that greatness, it can't. And I don't think anyone who ever did anything great lived in like, this is so balanced.
No, it's actually impossible. It's impossible. And that's the reality. There's been families torn down from not, you know, everybody not being on the same page. And that's just the reality. But at the end of the day, if you got a real team and people that love each other and understand each other, then you'll have a chance of doing it. And that's literally what I'm doing right now. So
what are the things that are most important for that to work though? It seems like it's communication.
It's all communication. It's literally all communication. Like I said, like we were in the roughest patch. Like once we had Ella, like Ella got here and you know how it is. It's not easy for any woman. Once they have a baby, they feel, you know, are insecure. They're trying to figure everything out. Their hormones are all over the place. So like, we were fighting all the time just for no reason.
Yeah.
And we were just back and forth. And like, we literally were going through it. And it just got to a point where I'm like, all right, we need to sit down and let's be real. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, how are we going to fix this? I'm not going to do this every day. We're just bickering at each other, staying away from each other for no reason. Like, I'm like, we're going to stay together. We're going to live together. We're married. Like, let's figure this shit out so we're all on the same page. Like, if we're not, then we're just going to be miserable. So that's really what it came down to. And, yeah, she's ride or die.
Yeah. No, would you say you're more of like a traditional kind of guy?
What do you mean?
In the sense of like family, like breadwinner, take care 100%. Of the woman.
My mom is, like I said, my mom is Serbian and Albanian. That whole side of the family, they're all very old school traditional. And that's kind of what I believe in. You know, I fully believe in that. I feel like the man is a breadwinner.
Yeah.
You provide, take care of your family, take care of your girls. No matter what it is, I'm paying the bill. Like, I take it as a sign of disrespect if anybody, even a cousin or whatever, like tries to come and pay a bill, like I take care of this. Y'all are in my house, my city, I got the bill. So like that's how I was raised. And then the women, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of controversy. Even Strickland started that whole thing. But like, you know, women can do whatever they want. If they want to work, 100% more power to them. Like in my family structure, like Rachel's a stay at home mom. She takes care of Ella. Takes care of around the house, makes food. Like that's just how we do it. And I'm working all day. I bring home the money. I pay the bills, take care of them, make sure she never has a worry, make sure my family doesn't have a worry, and I'm good.
Well, you're a good example, man. And for kids and for people who watch, like just football, everything aside, you definitely set a good example.
I appreciate it, bro.
And it's an honor to have you on, man. An honor to talk to you for
real. Sir.
And
I got to get you on the pod.
I'd love to be on the pod.
Yeah, it would be dope.
Anything you need from me, man, I'm always there for you.
No doubt.
Because you were, I swear, when I met you, you were you weren't like, you could be, you know, on your stature and where you're at, you could be like a dickhead. Yeah. Not at all. Cool as super. And just like, yo, come, I'll give you this. I'll help you with that. So even off camera, because on camera, you get on here, everyone gets on camera and they say all the good stuff.
Yeah.
I got to let everyone know off camera, you were that same exact dude to me. And you barely even knew me at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I just knew you through literally this podcast and like that. But I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
So anything you need, man, a blessing. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
You crushed that.
Yes, sir. Thank
and
you,
I think, you got a great voice and a great mentality for podcasting for sure. So I hope you take it super far.
No doubt. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
You have any questions for me or are we good?
I mean,
you know,
only thing I'm surprised about was you didn't ask about us in a street fight.
Oh, because
like,
I asked you.
Isn't that like
Strickland.
Your thing?
Yeah. Well, in the street
like
fight?
You asked everybody.
But I did the street fight with Strickland because I knew you fought Strickland.
Okay.
But who wins though? Me or you in a street fight?
Me.
You even with that busted knee?
Not
I'll chop
knee.
Your knee down.
Healthy.
You box, I'll kick you.
Yeah, I mean, you got me with
not,
one leg.
Not that, no.
But just fully traditional, yeah, it would be.
Let's get you fixed.
Yeah.
And then do a little sparring.
I'm with that all day.
I love it.
All day.
I love it. Huh? Well, no, he's over the pads on. No.
Yeah, we got to do one on one. One on one. You have to try to block me, and then we'll fight.
What do I got to do with the pad? I got to get past you.
No, you would be old lineman trying to block me.
That's too easy, bro.
What do you mean? too easy for me or too
for
easy
me.
For you?
Oh, my too God. Easy for me.
Right, I feel like you got to have interview is over.
I feel like you got to have the crazy mentality,
this interview's
bro.
Interview is over. I appreciate
No, I'm Josh. I'm fucking around. I'm fucking around. Not, bro. But I feel like you have to have that crazy mentality.
You have to. I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, who will?
That's a fact, man.
That's a fact.